Hi, I'm best-selling author and psychic witch Angela Lovell, and this is Dear Witchy Poo. Dear Witchy Poo, how do I go from being a baby witch to a master of magic? Trying not to F it up like Nancy in The Craft, BW. Great news, I have Pythian Priestess here to answer this letter today. Please introduce yourself, you goddess.
Hi, everyone. My name is Pythian Priestess. My mundane name is Ashley Ryan. I am an initiated hermetic priestess. I've been practicing magic since I was a child, but I was recently initiated into a specific energy system in 2020.
And amazingly enough, we both grew up in Florida.
Yeah, it's super weird.
Just like, do you ever refer to yourself as a swamp witch or a bog witch?
I have referred myself as a swamp witch, yes.
I still do.
Yeah.
And my black cat is in love with you. Well, both of them were.
I love your cat.
She's the best one.
Aww. Hi, baby.
They're very special. Okay, so this, I couldn't wait to have you on. I'm so excited to hear seriously, everything you tell this person, who I especially appreciate the craft reference.
Absolutely, yeah. We don't want to go off the deep end.
No, and spoiler alert, Nancy ends up like in a straitjacket, right? Like, yeah. She's in a padded cell at the end of The Craft.
And that's a genuine warning.
It really is. Yeah.
People can fall into spiritual psychosis very easily, especially when you don't have a genuine mentor, because then you're just grappling in the dark, trying to make sense of a world, hoping and praying that the books you're reading are authentic. And if you don't have a specific path that you're following, you can end up in like crazy land.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I loved what you said too when I was asking you about your path and the story you told me about growing up.
Oh yes. So when I was younger, I always knew I wanted to do something with magic, but I didn't know how to describe it, you know, as a child. Mm-hmm. So when I was 4 years old, I lived with two great aunts who were Benedictine nuns.
This is so crazy to me.
Yeah. And they were, after church one day, they were like, would you like to marry Jesus and become a nun? And I thought about it and I was like, you know, no, but I would like to be a priest. And they were like, you can't do that. You're a girl. And I was like, well, I don't care about religion anymore then.
Amen.
Yeah.
I would love to marry Jesus, I think.
I think Jesus is really cool.
Do you think he's more Aries or Pisces?
So I think Jesus is probably a Cancer.
Oh my God.
So if you look
at... Well, that's a good point, actually, because he's all flipping tables like a sociopath. No offense to Cancer men.
He's definitely got like the nurturing, loving energy, but there's definitely that undercurrent of like that strong arm. So yeah.
Ooh, I know. I love working with Christ energy, which is also funny because I like that she referred to herself as baby witch because, you know, it's like such a touchy thing to call someone else a baby witch. But whenever someone does refer to themselves to me as a baby witch, if that's how they identify, it does sound like, please nurture me, please show me the way, which I appreciate, you know? But even like my whole life, I was working with Jesus. I was working with Christ energy, mm-hmm. and he's such a powerful deity. And I feel like the Christians really missed the boat on what that religion could have been.
Yeah, Paul really messed it up for everybody. I blame Paul.
I blame Paul. Oh my God, just like the Beatles.
Oh my God, you're right.
He messed it up there too.
Yep. Yes,
okay. I mean, I feel like we can all agree with Paul.
Sorry to all the Pauls.
Sorry, Pauls. Okay, so I would love to hear just your general thoughts. So you like finding a firm path.
I think it's helpful.
Yeah. And how would you suggest that? Would you suggest starting with a deity that's calling to the person? How would you start a path, or how would you suggest someone else start a path, mm-hmm. or like signs to look for, what's calling to them?
So Angela, what I would recommend for someone is to go inside of themselves and say, what is it that I am trying to find? Whether it's a power, whether you're seeking like a psychic ability, whether you're trying to connect to a deity. And that's already going to give you a pretty good understanding, even if you just want to be able to change situations around you. So once you understand where you are, then you get a clearer definition. So let's say you want to just change and do spells and make change in the world, then work with the planets. That would be my friend. Then do planetary magic, research and understand planetary magic. If you're interested in a specific deity, what pantheon are they from? And then even more so, I'm not talking about specific Like, I am a green witch or I'm a water witch. That's not quite what I'm saying. It's about the energies that you're working with.
Yeah.
So sure, if you want to call yourself a water witch, but you're much more than that. You're working with all of the elements, but sure, you specialize in one.
Yes, I love this. How did you find your way?
I spent a lot of time in Florida, dumbly searching through public libraries and Barnes & Noble, just trying to find anything that I could about other kinds of religions.
That's what I did in Florida, because it's like they don't value education in Florida. So it's like you got to go find all your own stuff in Florida. I used to hang out at Barnes & Noble with my smart friends. Libraries.
That was it.
And I wasn't really into drugs or alcohol.
Nope.
I was 25 when I first started drinking. So in Florida, it was books.
Yeah, in Florida, everyone's drinking at noon.
Oh,
so.
My God. Mm. Yeah. It's a real escapist place.
It really is.
You, gotta get out either physically or get out, check out mentally. It's not a great place.
It's not a great place. So
only getting worse.
So I was so determined just to, I was like, I'm going to read everything I can find and trying to figure out what works for me. So I studied, Wicca. Well, that's what was available to me at the time. Didn't really connect with it. But what I did connect with was auras and understanding how the energy system works.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I know you give a variety of readings.
Mm-hmm.
Do you work with other people's auras ever?
Sure. So especially when I do energy cleansing or energy healing. So I work with a lot of women who are in domestic violence situations.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know this about you.
Yeah, I don't talk. I talk a lot about it because people come to me privately about it, when they're in a situation where you need the strength to empower yourself to leave.
Yeah.
And it's the most dangerous time when a woman or anybody leaves a toxic relationship, and being able to find, sometimes you need police help. So I work with them on a physical and spiritual level. But once you're out of the space, doesn't mean that energetically you've disconnected from that person.
Oh my God, yeah, forever. And then so do you work with cord cutting?
Yes, I do a lot of cord work. So cord work is cord cutting, but what people don't realize is the cords are also roots inside of you.
Yes, yes, yes. I have so many clients who are always why can't I stop thinking about them? And I'll look, and there will be a lot of tangled cords.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it looks like soulmates, but a lot of soulmates are meant to challenge us and not necessarily be romantic with us.
Yeah, the soul contracts don't always mean love.
No, and it's so hard because the soulmate veil, there's just,
the illusion of it.
Yes. So, okay, you do cord cutting. What do you like to do the most where you get to apply the magic you've learned?
So my favorite kind of magic ultimately would be working with tarot cards. So every tarot card, not just reading them, but you can actually scry them, project yourself into them through prayer, through meditation, and all the tarot cards represent different aspects of yourself. So when you are working within the card, you can say, this is a part of me that I need to uncover. This is a part of me that I'm not in good rapport with. Versus for example, working with the Justice card, we think we know what justice means, but when it comes to specific situations, we may be biased. I need Goddess. I need Jesus. I need God to tell me what is genuine justice here.
Whoa. I've never heard of this. You know what's funny? When I give readings, because I'm clairvoyant, so I just close my eyes and I see what they're... But sometimes I'm not getting it fast enough. They show me something crazy. So many times my guides have started just showing me tarot cards.
Yeah, they're doorways.
Yes!
Yeah.
Which deck do you like?
I almost exclusively use the Rider-Waite-Smith deck.
Really?
Yeah.
Old school.
Yeah, because the way that A.E. Waite and Pamela Coleman-Smith created those cards with specific colors, specific patterns, that it's supposed to trigger your unconscious mind.
Do you know? So I say this all the time. If I have a friend doing it, or anytime I see somebody reach for a book, for oracle cards, for tarot, I mean, they are all designed for you to fall into. And scry, I think that's a really good way to put it. And I tell them, don't read the book. like, if you're learning them, read them, write down the notes, and then go back and look at the book to see what resonates. Yeah. There's so many different meanings for every
card.
Well,
they're great for, everyone's like, how do I boost my intuition? Use tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can look, and just by even looking, like the, for example, the easiest one, the sun card. What do we see? A happy baby on a horse with the sun shining. How does that make you feel? What are the colors here? And you can intuitively figure out what it means.
Yes, I love this. So tell us a little bit more about what it is to be a priestess and to practice. Like, do you, I know that you do a lot. I was looking at your shop the other night with all the spells you do, and I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, it was stuff that I actually, like, I have people I want to refer to some of the stuff
you.
On there. Well, because I told you this, like, when you started to pop up in my feed, and I don't know how, but you first showed up for me, but the things you say resonate as such authentic, you know, and this was something I was saying to you, like, it's hard to find people practicing who I think are grounded in their own spirituality.
Oh, yeah.
Who are doing it for the right reasons and not just to, like, feed ego.
Absolutely. You know? It's not a badge. That's the first thing I tell people is I'm not a princess.
Yeah.
Nope. Being a priestess is you're a servant. You're a handmaiden for the goddess.
God, that just gave me chills.
It's very, very powerful. It's very beautiful, but the power is not mine. It is, I am gifted this.
Yes. I love this. I say this all the time. I'm like, we have gifts and we have abilities and you need to discern between them because gifts can be taken away.
Oh yeah.
And if you don't honor what your duty is, and you are obviously tapped into it. I mean, I watch everything you post as much as I can.
You're so sweet.
I'm telling you, like, do you consider yourself a channel?
So I do think that I do channel certain energies, especially when I do certain kinds of magic. Yeah.
You speak with such an authentic voice that I do feel like it is coming from goddess.
I appreciate that.
I'm like, let me interrupt you to keep complimenting you.
Oh no. No, I ask her every day. I say, you know, please, like, make sure that I am available to send the message that you want, whatever it is.
Wow. Yeah. I always request that I'm only brought people I can help. And
people that's a good idea.
Help me. Because, you know, we learn so much in working with these people too. That I feel like it's the give and take, like it's the human relationship.
It's an energy exchange.
Yes, it really is. It's funny too, because I don't know if you find this, but when I give free readings to friends, they do not honor the free reading.
Oh.
If we swap something, they honor what I tell them, but they'll go pay another psychic.
Of course, yeah.
And then they'll tell me the thing that I told them another psychic said. And I'm like, yeah, now you're doing it because you exchanged money for it.
You exchange energy for it.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to give something up. I'm very grateful that the people that I do offer free readings in my life, that they do take it seriously because my energy is limited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see healers all the time. It's hard because I don't actively do Reiki or anything on people for as a service. I do it for loved ones. But I got a little spooked when I saw people I really cared about who are amazing Reiki healers, but I see them lose life force.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's really something very important is that you should always be pulling from the highest, never pull from yourself.
Yeah.
You will age. You will. Yep. Yeah. Not good.
No. And you feel like so plugged in. Like,
so, yeah. Well, I just did a huge working before I got here. So I went out and I was volunteering with the WGA strike. And I got there. I was like, I got to cleanse my energy now. And I got to re-amp myself up.
I love it. I love that you were there.
Yeah.
Pictures are great on your Instagram.
Thank you.
What advice would you give someone who, because I do feel like, you know, when you're starting in magic, it's so fun to read your friends. It's so fun to practice tarot on others. Walk us through a little bit, like, what your spiritual practice is. Like, how do you start the day? How do you cleanse? Like, what is like your day look like for your spiritual path?
Sure. So I have two rituals that are very important, a morning and a night ritual. So the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I take advantage of my theta brainwave state because I know that is the most important moment. I do not touch my phone. I say, oh, I'm so grateful to wake up today. I am grateful that whatever I'm trying to bring into my life, so whether it's like my big break is coming, this money is coming to me, that's the first thing I do. And then I get up and I do a banishing to make sure that any cords, if I was like out of my body at nighttime from in the astral plane, like get rid of that stuff.
Smart.
Yeah, get that off me. So I have really vivid dreams because I've been practicing lucid dreaming. And so I need to get rid of that so I can be focused and present.
Yeah. Yes, I know. Me too. I get the lucid dreaming. You'll get real tripped up on that. I came back to my body this morning and this has been happening a lot. You probably, if you're traveling a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm hearing you say the cord cutting and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's what I need to integrate. But like, I'll come back. And I'll be like, who am I? Where am I? This is great. Like, I come back new so often when I think the further out we go, the more it's like coming back to a body is like.
Yeah, you get perspective on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're in a container here.
Yes. The cord cutting when you come back from dreaming, very important. That is a great, great point. Okay. Yeah. So then what else?
So then I do what I need to do to take care of my physical body. So any medicines that I'm taking, like I take a multivitamin, I take a probiotic in the morning. And then that's also a ritual, like nourishing. Like I think about that all the time. Like, oh my God, I am so grateful to have these little capsules of like amazing vitamins for me that I don't have to go out and try to forage food to buy.
Yes. Yes.
And then I drink lemon water.
Oh my God, I do the same thing.
Yeah, get that metabolism moving.
Yes, yes. It's so funny. I think the more we sit in gratitude, I think we get more.
Absolutely.
Like every single time I take a shower, I feel so lucky.
Oh, yeah.
And blessed that I have this clean space where I get clean. And that's also where I do my cord cutting ritual every day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, even like the little capsules of freaking medicine and nutrients.
Like, so grateful.
Yeah. So when you, do you ever like program anything throughout the day or like set intention with the way you stir things?
Sometimes in the morning, I will definitely do that with drinks, the water, the cleansing water to cleanse my body and prepare me for the day. So those are the morning stuff. If I need to, especially when I'm doing the podcast for The Occult Unveiled, I program a crystal because I get fidgety during interviews because my energy is moving so fast because I'm thinking so quickly and listening to the director and like also trying to have this amazing conversation. So I take selenite and I program it to ground me and like remove any unnecessary thoughts.
Nice.
So, yep.
Oh, that's a good one.
If I'm writing, I have crystals that I program for focus, for creativity. And then, of course, if I'm traveling, I have, I'm going to charge my passport. I'm going to charge my ID, make sure my credit cards don't get stolen.
Yes. Would you talk a little bit about how you, like, your preferred method for charging even things like house keys, passport, stuff like
sure.
that?
Sure. So the first thing is your crystal. Make sure your crystal's charged up. And that means you've either had to put it near another crystal or use moonlight or sun, depending on the properties of said crystal. And then I do, it's like a meditation to boost your sacral or your sexual energy, because that's our chi, that's our life force.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pull it up through whatever chakra I need, whether it's my heart or protection for solar plexus. And then I put the crystal in my palms. So I feel the energy circles or centers in my palms. So I put it and I close my hand. So when I put it around the crystal, and then I'll put it to that chakra and I inhale the white light from heaven down through my spine and then out through that specific chakra in a color. So if I'm going to do protection of like my solar plexus and my identity, I'm going to charge my passport with the colors of yellow and then the opposite color of purple. So those colors flash and that's a protection.
Ooh, and do you do opposite? I haven't heard of this.
So this is in Western esotericism. Uh-huh. You have colors that they flash with each other, or how do I explain this? If you were to look at the color yellow for like a really long time and you look at a blank wall, you would see the color purple.
Whoa.
Yeah, same thing. So if you see, it's like what the colors are in the astral. So it's really cool. So if you look at red for a really long time and then you move over to a blank wall, you'll see green.
Wow.
So that's why astral fire is green.
Oh my God.
Really cool stuff.
How am I just now hearing about this?
It's kind of hard to find.
This is
it's not. I learned that from Sal at the Crooked Path.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Sal.
Yeah. So that's how I would charge. And you don't have to even get like that fancy with it. It's really about using, again, pulling from the highest. Always pull from the highest. Mm-hmm. Even if you're just pulling from the universe, from your ancestors, from spirit, don't overwork your chi, because you only have 100-ish energies a day. How are you using those energies?
Oh my God, that's such good advice.
Yeah, and that's like the big thing with social media. Like, do not look at that in the morning, because then you're immediately charging whatever negativity you see on there.
Yeah, yeah. And I've gotten to a point with mine where, I mean, I just follow like, you know, I follow you. Yeah. I follow like a lot of really fun meme accounts.
Oh, good.
And it's very rare that I ever see anything negative anymore.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've got it locked down. But I also think, I think in increasing our sensitivity, it helps our intuition, mm-hmm. but then it can hurt more too. So you have to like constantly be setting protection.
And be vigilant.
Yeah.
One thing that I do on my phone, which you have, I think, yeah. it currently broke, but I have, this is black onyx that when I was holding my phone, I'd wear it as a bracelet so the energy wouldn't enter into my energy system.
Whoa, this is brilliant.
Yes. Usually, and whenever I do any kind of work, I'm not a Reiki master, but I do other forms of energy work. And then you can put the obsidian or tourmaline around your wrist so the energy doesn't enter into your system.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It blows my mind. The guy I'm dating has a black tourmaline bracelet he made for himself. And I was like, oh,
good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting stuff. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your favorite crystals, or what would you suggest even people like, I mean, I would love to hear like starting out, because I know, mm-hmm. you know, you get like rose quartz is so easy and gentle. And then moldavite is like,
it was really intense. I had a piece of moldavite, I lost it.
Oh man, my moldavite jumps around a lot. And whenever it disappears, I'm like, it's for the best, it's for the best.
It's for the best, yeah. I lost my moldavite the day, same day I started dating my boyfriend. And I was like, I respect this. You brought him to me. So
yeah, that makes sense. Because mm-hmm. moldavite is like a boyfriend.
It's like going to change your life kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. The first time I ever put it on, my whole chest went red and my heart was racing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. But I did buy that ring.
My boyfriend's very experimental when it comes to like intense crystals like that. So he has a piece of Sahara glass and a huge piece of moldavite. It was like $400. Like, I can't believe you bought that. And he wears them together. And I'm like, you're just going to like rock it out of your body, dude.
Yes. I love this though. I feel like, I'm like, this is your boyfriend.
Yeah, this is my boyfriend. Yeah.
What is his sign?
He is a Taurus.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like the perfect astrological match.
Yeah. Is he a practitioner?
He is. Yeah. And he's like a hermit. He like didn't have TV before he met me. Like,
I love it.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I'm asking that question and I'm thinking like, yeah, everybody I've dated, I make them a practitioner because I'm like, we're doing sex magic. And they're like, what are all these crystals? What is the salt circle?
Yeah. Yeah. What's the salt circle? So for crystals, it's like interesting, right? The first thing you really want to do is like understand elemental and planetary correspondences. Mm-hmm. So every crystal is going to be corresponded to a planetary energy and an elemental energy. They may not always match, right? So mm-hmm. you may have something that's Venus, but also like an element of Earth. So just understanding how the energies play with each other. That's really important. And you can learn that about herbs too. Scott Cunningham is a very wonderful resource that I recommend.
Yeah, I have a bunch of his stuff.
Yeah, he was a great entryway into my world. And when I started understanding correspondences, and that's the first thing, I recommend getting a big book like Llewellyn's Big Book of Correspondences,
yeah.
Scott Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Herbs, and then his Crystal, Metal, and Potion Magic book.
Ooh, who else do you like?
Reading? Oh, I really like, I like Donald Michael Craig a lot. I'm also a big fan of Deborah Blake for Beginners.
I don't think I know Deborah.
She's an author who wrote this book called The Eclectic Witch's Book of Shadows. And it's the perfect book for anyone who wants to start magic.
Oh, that's a really good recommend.
Yeah, because it's a grimoire and it is a resource book all in one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, holy crap. Okay. I would love to hear your thoughts on, it's funny because I know a lot of people who are always like, I'm constantly, okay, so I have like, I have a quest where every time I hear someone use bitch as a derogatory, I'm like, okay, but like a bitch is just a boss getting what they want. Mm-hmm. And I'm on a quest to change the reference of witch as well. Because,
oh, yeah.
And like black magic and the idea mm-hmm. that there is like...
Thanks, Hollywood.
Yeah, that's what I always say.
Thank you, Hollywood.
What they did with the pentacle, like, it's just a lot of dumbassery. And it doesn't even look scary until you remember growing up as a kid.
You had no frame of reference, right? Yeah. The same thing with what they've done to traditional black or African practices is really unfortunate.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, no kidding. And it's funny because I actually just advised a client where I saw them working specifically with voodoo, and they were already like doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an intensity there.
Oh yeah, that's an initiation.
Yes! Mm-hmm. And even when you look at what magic was used for, you know, like what people had to use voodoo for to save themselves, you can call on some really potent energy with that. You
yeah.
know?
Mm-hmm. If you're life-threatening if you're not careful.
Yes, yeah. And I mean...
people don't realize that. People think that witchcraft is a game. It's not a game.
It's not a game. And I mean... because, like, I feel like we all kind of started out dicking around with love spells, right? Like,
sure.
That's how we get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you really get to know Aphrodite. And I mean, here's a good opportunity to use bitch as a positive. But, like, she's a bitch. And I mean, I work with... she's over my bed. I have an Aphrodite
also. Yeah, you can get the vibe. Definitely her energy in the room,
yes!
for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she's... I have Hecate over the door... Aphrodite over the bed, Lilith pops in, Pan
yeah.
pops in. But those are like my standards. And I feel very balanced between them
mm-hmm.
and they feel harmonious, you know?
Right, right. You have the balance of the energies for the feminine, right? You have the, let's use like colors, right? So you have the white or the lighter aspect, and then you have the darker aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Darker, not meaning evil, but simply a different shade of light.
Yes, yes. And I would love to hear you talk a little bit more about the misconception, the huge misconception that what people do with magic is manipulative or wicked or against spirit, God, whatever, you know, whatever people subscribe to or...
have y'all read the Bible?
Oh my, for starters, and I say this all the time, that is a mean-ass God.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, Yahweh's intense.
That, like, and people want to talk about Satanists, which nobody even knows what that is anymore.
No, it's all, like, broken.
Yeah.
So first of all, King Solomon wore a breastplate of 12 different crystals. Let's start there. Okay, cool.
Do we know what those crystals were?
Yeah, you can look them up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's in the Old Testament. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I do remember reading that as a kid being like, these are gems.
You're like, so lucky that you got right, because I feel like Catholicism has such like a crazy dark energy to it.
It can, yeah.
You kind of end up seeking the light,
yeah.
you know, and the balance to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Catholicism can be very beautiful. It can also be very destructive.
Yes. Well, the saints, I mean, I see them all the time with people.
Oh, I don't get the shame aspect of it.
No.
I don't get that. But so let's start with the fact that Jesus was a magician.
Mm-hmm.
Like Magus, whatever you want to call him, literally like the three magi came to visit him.
Yeah.
Oh, how did they find him? They used the stars.
Oh my God.
Like what? Oh, if you go into ancient Jewish temples, there's astrology on the floor. Like, come
yeah.
on.
Yes.
This stuff is ingrained. It's in religion. It's
mm-hmm.
called mysticism. That's a little bit different than witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Same concept.
Yes. I love it. I was thinking about this today, how Mormons deny astrology. They won't even let women be, because they have an actual like fortune teller. Oh my God, what are you saying?
Do you want me to debunk Mormonism for you?
Yes, 100 times, yes. Well, Joseph Smith, when he was killed, there was an amulet of Jupiter around his neck. And my first, because, you know, I'm on the Sag Cap cusp.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And he, I thought, was Cap. And my first instinct was, that bastard was a Sagittarius. And I looked it up and he isn't. I always thought he was Capricorn.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
So Joseph Smith grew up in something called the Burned Over District in New York. And that's where, like, spiritualism in America really got started.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something called the Salamander Letter. Now, you know this?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Go on.
So if you ask any Mormon, they're going to tell you the Salamander Letter is a fake. It's not a fake. It's very real. And it talks about how Joseph Smith used something called a Herkimer diamond, which is only found up in the northern part of New York, and he would use it to find angels, spirits, whatever you want to call it. So whatever, he's out in the woods one day, and a magical salamander appears. And if you know anything about elements, that the salamander is the element of fire. Bro found an elemental in the woods and was like, this is my new god now, and you're gonna...
Yes!
Yeah. So when you read the letter, if it was to be defamatory or to cause any kind of defamation to him, the letter would not be as boring as it is. It's not salacious at all. It's just like, I saw this in the woods and then this happened. I am now inspired. Cool. And then it got changed into like angels and stuff to like have it more fit in with their religion. But yeah, in my opinion, like that whole religion started based off of an elemental, AKA witchcraft.
Yes. Yes. I love this.
Yeah.
And then you get a man's ego involved and then it's weird and he's marrying 14-year-olds and 12-year-olds or whatever that was about.
Yeah.
It's fun. I feel like we have, because most of these different stories and religions, there is so much in common. Like even the Jesus figure, you know, we see a million times over and over. And this is why, because I always think like, I'm still waiting for like a real religion, you know, because I feel like the true practitioners, we're piecing together what works for us. We're seeing which deities, which planets speak to us. And I think that it is human nature to look to a person for the answers, to look to a god for the answers. But I just don't think that it's one size fits all, you know?
No, it's not. And I think what people are looking for is framework. And in a world where we are so liberated, it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle, right? Where we have like potentially, you know, rules to follow. Yeah. And liberation's great, but it also has a dark side too. Everything does.
Yeah.
So I think one day, hopefully, there will be at least a coalition or a group of people who make some guidelines of just how to live well. Manly P. Hall already did it. He wrote 10 Ways of Living Better. It's a great little pamphlet.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's like, don't gossip, eat well, don't take a bunch of pills, don't do drugs.
Wait, I feel like I've read this.
Yeah, it's really great. And it's like, oh, just live in a tempered manner, don't live beyond your means.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, those all seem like really good.
Yeah, these are all great ideas. I mean, it's like, yeah, that's a little bit of socialism, love that.
Yeah.
This is, God, you're so fun. Okay. Tell us a little bit, what deities have you been called to work with? Like, who do you like?
So the first time I ever met my goddess, Isis, or that's her Greek name. Her Egyptian name is Aset. I met her when I was 14 years old, and I was at a jewelry convention in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, my God. It's just so weird.
It's so weird.
But, you know, there's, like, Casadega. There's some, like...
There's an undercurrent of mysticism in Florida, for sure. Especially in Miami. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Miami gets, like, wicked, too, with it.
Yeah, they do.
One of my friends, a psychic who I love in Casadega, Doreen, she would always warn me. She's like, don't go to Miami. Every time I look, I see just like devil horns everywhere. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to Miami.
Yeah, it's intense in Miami. It's real though.
It is. Yeah. Okay, so tell us a little bit more.
So I was dating a not awesome guy. Story of my life. That's changed now. New chapter. And
setting intention when you wake up, not looking at your phone. Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah. My boyfriend's great. And so I was at a table and I saw a hieroglyphic of a woman with her wings stretched out and she's on one knee bending. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but it's really fucking important.
Yes.
And so I bought it, you know, for my 14-year-old self. It was pretty expensive, but that thing, like, I didn't understand why it was so important until I worked with her. That's who I'm the priestess to. That's who she initiated me as her priestess, or the group did. And then I've worked with Ganesh, is an energy system that I believe really helped me overcome obstacles to move to Los Angeles, to get out of Florida. Yeah. That was like a huge jump for me. I've worked with Lilith. I've worked with other infernal energies as well. No one else currently has an altar in my house, though.
Really?
Yeah, I try to keep it to three. That seems like enough.
I know. It's funny too, because and this is something that I think people find their way to, is like figuring out which deities get along.
Yeah.
Because some of them you can't be.
Yeah, they're not friends. So like within the Egyptian pantheon, like I work with Anubis as well. I really love Anubis.
I like Anubis a lot.
Get a lost item, talk to Anubis.
Yes, yes. When did you start with tarot? How old were you?
Ooh, I was 14. Aww. I was a baby. I went to a Renaissance fair.
And this is so great.
I wanted my palm read because that's all I like had reference for. And then I got there and the lady was like, well, why don't we do palm reading and tarot? And I was like, what's tarot? And she put the cards out in front of me, and it was the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. And after she was done reading, I was like, so how do I get my own cards? And I was like ready to climb mountains. I was ready to go through this, like across the ocean, like ready to make this grand adventure. And she's like, Barnes & Noble? And I was like, oh, it's that easy. And that's like what really started me. And I was afraid to buy them for a while.
Oh, that's so sweet. I was really lucky. My childhood best friend, my two childhood best friends, the one was born the day before me in the same hospital.
Oh, and
our moms connected, and then like we grew up together. And she and I did a lot of witchy things together. And then the one I met when I was like 14-ish, she taught me how, or no, younger than that, but she taught me how to read tarot, not till college.
Oh, okay.
She busted out the Rider-Waite. And then my other friend in college, I had ballet with her, and I went up to her after class one day, and I was like, are you a witch? And she gasped, and she goes, how did you know that? And I was like, I don't know. I think I'm a witch, too.
That's
and
so then cute.
She busted out the Crowley deck.
That's
been my jam since then.
Yeah, the Thoth deck?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very
and
cool.
I do still have the Rider-Waite too. And there is something about it, but you're right. Like the colors, there's this artist. God, I wish I could remember. Actually, I have her pulled up on my computer somewhere, but she's a psychologist. I wish I could remember who this is. And she did these, but they remind me of the Rider-Waite. I'll show them to you.
Cool.
They were amazing. I want to have them printed because you can't buy them anywhere. The museum where they hang really needs to print these out.
Wow.
Because mystics would, I wanted to hang them all over my wall.
Mm-hmm.
You fall into them, but they trigger something. Like they're triggering, it's actual scrying.
Like yeah.
The point of them.
Mm-hmm.
But she created all these images. But it's the color too, I think, in the Rider-Waite. Like there's just so much, even though it's so simplistic. But yeah, the Crowley one and Lady Frida, they really get it. I don't know. That one really speaks to me still. Do you like any Oracle decks? Is there anything there that you found?
You know, I haven't used a whole lot of Oracle decks. I have some.
I've never gotten into an Oracle deck.
Yeah, like I have like the Starseed Oracle deck, which is fun. That's why I like Rebecca Campbell's art a lot. So I buy a lot of her decks just for the art though.
Yeah. I don't think I know who that is.
Oh, she's really cool. Well, I'll show you her work.
Yeah. I'm like, I go on social media.
Yeah, she's in England and she has a baby right now. So she's been real busy.
Wow. Oh, that's great. I like that she's someone still alive. Mm-hmm. I feel like everything that has been resonating with me lately is like, you know, conjure the ghost. Yeah. Conjure the ghost.
That's how I felt most of my life.
Yes. It's
everyone really I want to talk to is dead.
I know. And then it's kind of easier to have access to them though, I suppose.
Yeah.
Keep wanting to do a Crowley seance. I feel like he'd be way better dead too, like less ego.
I hope so. That'd be kind of cool.
I think he's Libra Moon. Like you.
Is he
double Libra?
Actually, we have the exact same like planets for the major three, but they're just like reversed.
Are you serious?
No, I'm dead serious.
Whoa. Wait, what was Crowley's Libra? So maybe not Libra moon.
He's a Pisces moon.
Pisces moon?
And he's a Leo rising.
That makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. See, and that's when the Leo goes wonky.
Yeah, you're ruled by the Pisces. You're going to have a bad time.
Yeah, my
the emotions.
My first husband is Libra, a beautiful man. Actually, yesterday was our wedding anniversary. I sent him an email while my boyfriend was getting us coffee. Happy anniversary every year. But okay, so let's talk a little bit more baby witch to now, and I don't like I think baby witch has been more embraced recently. You know, like before it was kind of an insult.
Some people think it's insulting. I guess that's how you take it.
Yeah, and if you identify as a baby witch, I think that that's fine. And I think that you're kind of asking.
It's the lingo.
Yeah.
You can use, there's lots of words. Neophyte, novice. Like choose your, pick a word.
Yeah, I like novice. Mm-hmm. Do you feel, okay, because I always feel like drag queens and witches, I feel like you need like a house of, or like a family, or a mentor. Like,
or like a glam house.
Yes. God, I would love a glam house. Do you ever find, like, did you have a mentor? Did you have anybody? Or did you just find it all on your own?
So I've had many mentors throughout my lifetime. I've been very blessed. My first mentor was my boyfriend's mom when I was in high school.
Whoa! Yeah. Your current boy? Oh, no.
My boyfriend, high school boyfriend.
Okay, I'm like, this would be a beautiful
story. That would be
story.
So cute. No, I wish.
Background to each other.
So he was training to go into Santeria. So he was going to be a Santero. His like whole family did it.
And, oh, my God. I love Santeria.
Yeah. And it was very beautiful. And I was very nosy. I was like, what are you doing? What's that altar in your closet? Why is there... Is there a pencil in the water?
Whoa. Did he actually go into it? Does he practice?
Sometimes he would tell me about it. Not very often. He didn't like talking about it a lot. And I was always disappointed. But his mom was really into it. So his mom would do like Reiki on me. And she'd teach me like candle magic and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so lucky.
I was very blessed.
Especially to be raised Catholic with.
Mm-hmm. But it's crazy. Like hoodoo and Catholic, like Santeria too. They have like, they're got the hands in the pot, man.
Same hands. I mean, I like how, you know, the saints have been merged with, it all bleeds into
each other. The synchronicity is real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really, really special to see how humans, we all, I call it like the rainbow effect. So, we're all familiar with the Pink Floyd album, Dark Side of the Moon. If you're not, go Google it. And it's a prism. And a white light, which is spirit, intersects into the prism. And then you, being the human, reflect a rainbow. Now, each one of those rainbows, or parts of the rainbow, represent a different aspect of your personality, a part of you. But it also represents different aspects of spirit. So you see deity or divinity reflected in everything. In Norse, in hoodoo, in voodoo, in Aboriginal cultures, in Hinduism, in Christianity. It's all very similar and they share the same archetypes.
Yeah.
We're all unified deep down if we're willing to look that far.
Yeah. It's so wild. It's so wild that people can find division in, well, quote, religion. Because
it's silly.
It is. It really is. It's interesting too because I find that people who practice like we do...
are so much more accepting.
Yes. And it is our religion, but we're more spiritual than religious about it.
Real. Yeah, I think religion gets a bad rep in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Religion is supposed to guide and regulate your life. That's what the purpose
is. Not oppress others.
Nope, not about oppression. Unfortunately, that's what it's been turned into.
Yeah, especially in Christo-fascist America. Mm-hmm. This is like getting bonkers now. I'm never living in California again.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how people can take something that is supposed to be beautiful and unifying and turn it into a division of force.
Yes, yes. What do you... Okay, so for people starting out, because I do get lots of letters that are like... there's one I really like, but it's kind of like, how do you suggest practicing and putting up an altar? Like if you live in a household or with a partner.
Oh, with people who don't practice?
Yeah, or not as accepting. Like I know there's like, you know, mini altars you can do and travel altars and you can do a little thing at your work desk and stuff like that. But even just the practice of putting up boundaries to not absorb stuff.
Yeah,
that's
a big part of it is about one. It's going to be if it's a hostile environment, you shouldn't do it, period, until you're out of it.
Yeah,
that's just the sad fact is that I've tried to do magic in hostile environments and it will literally crack, break, backfire. Don't.
Yep. That's what's happened to me. That's when my spells went bad. God, it's awful.
Yeah. You're putting it in a bad incubator.
It took 5 years to undo something.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was it. I stopped practicing for a while because it was so bad.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So if you're not in a super hostile environment, but maybe a like curious, unsure environment, it's going to be remembering that you ultimately are the altar. Like,
oh, I love that. Yeah,
like, your, the way you treat yourself, the way you talk to yourself, feed yourself, nourish yourself is a praise of spirit, because mm-hmm. we are made in the image of spirit. So let's honor it.
Yeah. And the magic is you.
Exactly. Exactly. You're absolutely right, Angela.
It's so hard. It's, I know it's really hard for a lot of people to get there, and so many more people. I just think that the pandemic and the latest shifts, a lot of people are kind of like barely holding on right now, you mm-hmm. know, and it's, I love the point you made about, because I forget that. I needed that reminder too, pulling mm-hmm. from source.
Yeah, pull from source.
Instead of pulling from your reserve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a really hard one, but I tell people constantly to practice prayer.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and even just ask, like, I ask them to intervene on my behalf all the time, you know, or mm-hmm. Bring me what I need, not what I want, because I'm often wrong about what.
Oh, that's what humans usually are.
Yes. Do you think, okay, so tell us, what do you think if some, oh, Minky, if someone is like, I think it's hard sometimes to discern what we're finding on our own, but if we're seeking for, if we're seeking community as practitioners, which is also kind of hard because I think that magic can get tainted by other people. I've heard all the coven horror stories and never like been in a coven,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'll like lead rituals for friends, but only, not like as a coven where I tell people like, bring what you want to work mm-hmm. and we'll do it here, you know, under a new moon. But for the most part, it is kind of hard finding, and again, this goes back to the craft, because like, you know, these kids are tapping into some magic because,
yeah.
what, you know, spoiler, I can't believe if anyone has not seen The Craft yet, that is the case. But but one of them is like maybe a little more potent, but a lot of it is just having the four corners, you know, they find like their fourth mm-hmm. corner, but having someone who's maybe like a little more magical, I think, what's her name has, I forget her name now, the lead, but has like ancestral ties to magic or something.
Yeah,
but
that's cool if you do. That's
yeah.
great. If you don't,
yeah.
okay too.
Do you think that there are any, I mean, I the internet has changed so much as far as finding people. I mean, for everybody, like for just finding your people, your voice, like
yeah.
who's going to be safe and well, and sometimes dangerous.
So you have to remember that humans are still going to be humans, whether or not they're spiritual, okay?
Yeah.
You are going to have people who have unhealed trauma, unhealed darkness within themselves, and you have to look out for warning signs. So I have a video on my YouTube. It's like 10 signs that you're in a cult.
God, but, I know people off the top of my head who need to watch that.
Yeah. The big one is making sure that not one person is in the center. People don't understand what it means to be a high priestess. High priestess is a servant role. You are not the boss of everybody. You may
yeah.
do scheduling. You may be running the temple, but you are no better than anybody else. Secondly, making sure you're not exploited. Anyway, whether it's sexually, whether it's monetarily, whether it's emotionally, if there is any kind of exploitation, leave. The other thing that I would say is like, you're going to hit bumps in the road with any group.
Yeah.
But vet beforehand. Most covens that I am familiar of do a year and a day before you're initiated into the coven,
mm-hmm.
meaning that you have a year and a day to figure out whether or not you gel with this group. How committed are you to this group? Being in a coven's a commitment.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, so making sure that you're ready for this. And also, you can watch the other, like, those are the three main ones, but you can find other warning signs, little red flags to say, oh, something's wrong here.
Yeah.
And don't let other people take your power away. But also remember, magic's a solitary path most of the time.
I agree. It's really tricky. Because you can even do sex magic by yourself. Like, you
sure.
don't really need another person to do any of it. But it is hard because the energy exchange, it's just like a romantic relationship,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you do magic with someone, there is an energy exchange, and you're going to pick up all their stuff, too. And
mm-hmm.
if they're unhealed, if they're bringing their trauma into this circle,
yeah,
like,
it could be bad.
There's a lot of stuff that can go wrong. Yeah, I've had, like, crazy, the worst... fights of my life or fights like breakups have been with people I've done magic with because you're so, you know, it's, it's like a vampire nest almost, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean, because that energy, it can't stop flowing.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Yeah, yeah, very difficult. I don't know, can you think of anything else? Like, what?
You know, I don't know how to find covens, but other than going to occult stores and asking.
Yes. Well, and even, because don't you teach some classes?
I do teach some classes. I teach online as well. So I work with a lot of international people, as well as people who live in rural America. So I'm currently creating an app right now. Yeah, I'm really excited for it. That will have like an introduction for like baby witchcraft. There's one for more advanced magic. And the idea here is like, just one is getting your feet wet and understanding the playing field, understanding all the different aspects of magic. And then, yeah, that's a lot of theoretical work. But then once you understand it, your magic will be a lot stronger.
Yes, it's true. It's true. Well, and also, when I see stuff with people and I tell them who I'm seeing, and then they go find, they do the research, like, you know, I describe what I'm seeing and they'll figure out which deity, it'll be a deity I've never even heard of. I really think exploration is key.
Yeah.
Like, you just see what
curiosity
resonates with you. Yeah. I'm so happy to hear you're creating an app. I'm like, sign me up.
Yeah.
I actually have the planetary one that Sal made.
Oh, that's a great
app.
Really
good. Well, because time of day, like if you need to pop a little spell on, you know.
Absolutely.
It's a very handy app. Do you know what it's called? I feel like
It's planetary magic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great. It's good. It's, yeah. Sal created it.
Yeah. It's a great app for spell work. So when it comes to finding a coven, it's going to be a lot of word of mouth. You're not going to find a lot of stuff online, maybe, but unlikely.
Yeah. I always feel like local occult shops are such, again, there's one in the craft, but they shoplift from it. And I've never seen that go well at an occult shop. That's always
there's so
the
many
five-finger candle come out and somebody returns all the books.
Yep.
I was like, why isn't this woman just using magic on them? Like in the movie.
Every store I know of has like anti-theft spells too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too.
You're going to have a bad time.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone I ever knew, if anybody stole, they would return it because they could feel that it was coming for them.
Mm-hmm. So we're having our sixth season of The Occult Unveiled coming out in October. I'm so excited.
Congratulations. It's amazing.
Thank you. We are on all of the streaming sites. We're also on YouTube now.
Oh, that's great.
And you can find me online at Pythian, that's Pythian, priestess. I'm also having my app launch in October.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for that.
And that's so soon.
And there's a future book coming I can't talk too much about. So.
Of course there is. I'm not surprised. You're such a bright light. You're a beacon.
Oh,
like,
thank
I think
you.
You're calling to people.
I appreciate that.
And people need it right now, you know?
They do.
I feel like, I like how we're all waking up a little bit more, you know?
It's the age of Aquarius.
Yes. Yes. Finally.
Finally.
Oh,
it's going to be
God.
A little bit rocky for the next 100 years, but I hope that if whatever you take from magic, whether you want to change something in your life, ultimately it's going to be an internal journey about elevating yourself, about evolving into a better person. And we need better people in the world right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. It's so true. And I mean, it's not hopeless when you take control, which I think is the potency of practicing, having your own practice, practicing magic.
Just connecting to spirit, connecting to nature. Mm-hmm. Remember that there's something greater than your Instagram feed.
Oh my God.
There's something greater out there than the next, you know, celebrity divorce. Like move past that material so you can see the spiritual.
Yes. And I would just encourage everyone to stop looking at celebrities.
Do we need more Kardashians?
No, we definitely don't. And if you like looking at people on Instagram, you should check this one's account out.
Hi,
I love it. I seriously watch everything. And there are so many times where I'll just be on for a minute, and if you've posted something, I'm like, oh, I gotta watch it.
Oh, that's so great. Thank you so
it's
much.
It's so good. Your content is so good. But it does come from such an honest place. Like, you're a helper. You're really here to help people.
Yes. I am a number 7 Enneagram. So.
Oh, of course you are.
Yes.
You just resonate spirituality and warmth. And
thank you.
I'm so grateful that I found you and that you did this episode.
Oh, I'm so grateful, too. Thank you so much, Angela.
Yeah, my pleasure. You guys become a patron if you want to see Runok the camera over while we're recording. If you want to watch us talk with cats, I mean, it's a real thrill. You can book readings with either of us.
Yeah.
Do you have a website that you like?
So, you can go to Etsy and find me as Pythian Priestess.
Your Etsy reviews are amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really happy at 450 and going strong.
Holy crap. And you do spell work on that.
I do spell work. I do tarot readings. Mm-hmm. If you want spell work from me, I ask you to buy a consultation to make sure that I can do the work for you. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm not here to rip anybody off. If you're interested in working with me for domestic violence, just send me a message and I'll connect to you.
Tell us your Etsy account.
So it's Pythian Priestess Shop.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. I was looking at it just yesterday and I was like, damn, you had a Lionsgate ritual up, like all kinds of stuff and very affordable rates. You're going to be raising those soon. So people should book you.
Soon,
I mean, seriously, like I'm like, I was like, I need to book her for some stuff. So good. You're just such a bright light and I appreciate you so much.
Thank you for seeing me.
Yeah, my pleasure. And until next time, you guys, keep living a life that's worth burning for.